1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A state of emergency declared for the town of Ketchikan, Alaska, after a large section of a hillside slid down into a neighborhood. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
Ketchikan sits alongside the Inside Passage in southeast Alaska and has its occasional landslides. But Mayor Dave Kiffer says the one that struck Friday is the worst he's seen in his 65 years in the town of 8,000. One person was killed, three others were hurt when tons of earth and debris crashed into several houses.
One woman swept away and killed during a torrential rainfall in the Grand Canyon, creeks and rivers quickly flooding. Extreme heat throughout the Great Plains and Midwest today feels like temperatures could hit 110 degrees just outside Chicago. A heavy exchange of strikes between Israel and the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. And Donald Trump today will tie his November opponent, Kamala Harris, to the chaotic Afghanistan war withdrawal. This is the third anniversary of the day that 13 U.S. service members were killed in a bombing at the Kabul airport. This is ABC News. Possible murder-suicide at a home in New York's Long Island. Five people are dead, says ABC's Sonia Rincon.
Nassau County Police aren't saying anything yet about who these victims were. We don't know their ages. We don't know their relationships. What we do know is that this is a tragedy. Five people dead in an apparent murder-suicide, with one male victim dead of an apparent gunshot wound just outside the house, right on the front lawn, in fact, and the other four victims found inside.
Two men have now been charged with damaging ancient rock formations outside Las Vegas. The men are accused of pushing 140 million-year-old rocks off a cliff in a protected area at Lake Mead back in April. If convicted, they both could get a decade behind bars. And Walmart is recalling nearly 10,000 cases of apple juice. Elevated levels of arsenic found in some of the Great Value brand apple juice. Experts say the levels are enough to make somebody sick, but likely would not cause permanent damage. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
As fall approaches, you have a lot to prepare for. Back to school, sporting events, family gatherings, and staying on top of your health. The virus that causes COVID-19 continues to evolve. So this fall, no matter what you're prepping for, you can prioritize your family's health and make a game plan for COVID-19 vaccination. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin Regents have approved mass layoffs at UW-Milwaukee. Nearly three dozen employees will lose their jobs on campus. During a meeting Thursday, Regents said they were put in this position because the UW system doesn't have enough funding from the state. Often tenured professors are safe from layoffs like this, but state law ended tenure protections in 2015. The employees work in the College of General Studies, which will close next summer. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Moen said cutting these positions is necessary, even though the Faculty Senate voted against it. And the FDA has signed off on new COVID-19 boosters. Spread of the virus is at its highest summer peak since 2022. The new boosters from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech will roll out soon. The CDC recommends everyone over age 5 get a COVID booster and a flu shot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get ready for the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers return from their West Coast trip to host the San Francisco Giants tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Crew losing to the A's 4-3 on Sunday. Starting pitcher Frankie Montas giving up all four runs in the fourth inning, Pat Murphy.
The credit goes to the A's. You know, he was had the same stuff. He just threw balls in the middle of the plate and they hit it.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers installing the game plan for their first game Friday night when they host Western Michigan. The NFL deadline to reduce rosters from 90 to 53. 33 is 3 o'clock tomorrow. On defense, linebacker Aaron Mosby had a forced fumble and an interception against the Ravens Saturday and now waits for that phone call.
Decompress, try to go find you something to do, keep your mind off of that day. You don't want to think about it too much, you know, just because you don't want to get yourself down and things like that. But on the other side, you want to think about it just because if you do make the team, it's go time. Then, you know, we got Brazil coming up next Thursday.
That's Packers linebacker Aaron Mosby. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be dangerously hot and humid today. We have an excessive heat warning for heat index values to 115 or better this afternoon. Sunny, actual high 96 today. A few scattered thunderstorms, 72 tonight. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, mostly sunny and cooler with a high of 92. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude return on Monday after doing double duty at the DNC last week. They'll have a recap of the convention as well as analysis of all the events that happened over the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Hey! Damn, how'd I end up in Kansas? Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, this is Chippewa Falls. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. 6:06 on this Monday, August 26th, 2024. 71 days till Election Day and a beautiful morning to have you here. Here up north, not in Chicago anymore. Greg Bach, fortunately for us, is still in Waukesha, so the show gets on the air. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat. Are you feeling rested and recovered and cozy in Chippewa Falls now?
More or less.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot going on last week, and I talked to so many people. We're going to hear from some more of those folks today, probably drop in a few more throughout the course of the week here. But now we've got 10 weeks from tomorrow is the election. Donald Trump's making noise about maybe not taking part in the debate again. So we're not going to run out of things to do here. We'll hear from a few more folks. We're going to talk to or hear from Scott Ross, formerly of One Wisconsin Now. Andrew Werthmann from the Eau Claire City Council, who was a delegate, and talk about the impact of presidential elections on local levels of government. We'll talk to Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer as well. So we've got a lot coming up. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, and more. What was your weekend like? Because you've been filling in for Jane Mattenair, so you too have been putting in a little extra time. So did you wind down this weekend?
I did. So Friday we didn't have a show, which was really nice. So we just hung out. We ordered some Chinese food. We watched the new movie on Peacock called The Killers. I wouldn't recommend it. But and then Saturday was, oh my goodness, Saturday is a complete blur right now. We did stuff. And then we had we went out for breakfast. My brother-in-law, it was his birthday on Saturday, so my family went out to breakfast. We had a really good time. Then we had a really fun show at the Tap, which was cool. We had a local laugh show, which is when we get, you know, Wisconsin comedians together. And then yesterday we went to South Bend, Indiana for the day to visit my wife's aunt. So we actually drove through Chicago, and the residue of the DNC was still there. Like, there were still billboards and, you know.
The residue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how it works after a party. There's, you know, basically you saw the equivalent of some red Solo cups lying around. You know,
okay. Oh, I'm going to clean this up? Oh, you guys all left? Okay, I'll just clean this up. That's fine.
Right? Fine. But you wrote your names on the cups. I know who you are, yeah. Jane. So, no, whoever. Anyway, I left Chicago Friday morning right after the show, and I took the brand new Amtrak Borealis,
nice.
The new line that runs during the daytime hours.
between Chicago and St. Paul. And I took it from Chicago to La Crosse, where Sherry met me, and then we went out with friends in La Crosse late on Friday. That train was sold out. Almost every run of the Borealis has been sold out. I love that train. And I don't mean to start, a Monday in a week with some naughty words, but there aren't enough bad words that can be pointed at Scott Walker and others who killed the opportunity to benefit from increasing rail traffic and getting cars off the freeways.
Yep.
I was able to sit in a seat that was way better than your typical airline seat. And unlike a car seat, could get all kinds of work done when I wanted to, or could just close my eyes when I wanted to. You're not supposed to do either one of those things when driving a car, last I checked.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, I know. Oh. Especially, the construction zones and everything else. It was fantastic.
That's
and I can't wait to do it again. And I cannot, again, recommend highly enough the ability to take a train. If you are from anywhere from Wisconsin Dells on north, and you've got something in the Chicago area or other places, but say you just want to do the museums and the aquarium, or you've got a business thing down there, then go to Toma or go to Portage or go to Columbus or go to the Dells or go to La Crosse and get on the train there. Mm-hmm. And you will to not have to deal with Chicago traffic. Oh, that was so nice.
Those conversations I had with people post the killing of high-speed rail, they celebrated so hard because they had no idea. They're like, yeah, we don't want to be taxed. They're like, that's not how that worked. It wasn't your tax. This was all money set aside. And then when you broke it down for the individuals, like, we lost the train, which would have created jobs building the train, which would have created businesses by the train stations, which would have created, like, you just go down the line and you feel, you see
so
their
many layers.
Faces.
Yes.
It's like, you're like, yeah. Oh. And that money didn't go away. It didn't go poof, gone. It went to other states. Other states got that money. So,
yeah. And Wisconsin will at some point have to play catch up. And guess what? It'll cost more when it does. But that's, that's the thing that folks need to keep in mind when you have these railroad discussions that, again, just didn't get the thing. Let's see. Scott in Madison says, Pat, don't forget the facts. I believe we spent like $63 million to save $3 million a year. I don't know. I'd like to, again, explore your point, Greg, of following the money and the benefits that would have come from it. And unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to do that for a little while here. If you'd like to reach the show, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC is the number to reach us. You can call or you can text. You can also put up a comment on Facebook or YouTube if you're watching us there. If you'd like to email the show, it's radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And don't forget, you can also sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we love partnering with them on these weekday mornings. And you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And Greg, in the newsletter today, I did not realize till I saw it in this morning's newsletter, today is National Dog Day.
Pat, did you know I have a dog? I have a dog.
You have a dog. I have heard this. I've heard that there is a dog. Yes.
Her name is Sabel.
Yeah. Coming back to the train comment, I'm still kind of rolling that in my head. Spending 63 is to save 3 million. I'm not sure where that all came from, Greg. I don't know if you've been running the numbers over there.
No, I mean, if this reads as a dig at the train, I think.
Yeah.
And all I have to say to this is, if you look at the beginning numbers, it has been an overwhelming success so far.
Yes.
And you have to invest to make and to save. This, if it was $63 million, which if you're giving me the correct number, that's fine. This train will eventually do its job and it will provide transportation and it will do it that whole thing, like, well, we spent all this money. Well, yeah, we have to spend money to save money, to make money. Those things need to happen. We can't just sit there going, well, we can't spend the money. Or it just, that's not a viable solution.
We're actually going to get into that in the next hour on a different front as well, when Selena Heller joins us to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and the many ways that homeowners, businesses, school districts, and local units of government, the Inflation Reduction Act is providing that funding up front. I mean, everybody knows that they could do some kind of a home project and save money on their utility bills, mm-hmm. but they don't have the cash up front. You know, if it's a, let's say it's a $10,000 project, but then you're saving on your bills and you've increased the value of your house, there'd be a lot of benefits, but it's tough to come up with the money for that project. The Inflation Reduction Act helps front load that. And so you have, like, we're going to talk today about school districts like in Black River Falls that have known for the longest time, they've known the payback window, that if we had the money, we'd make up that money and more. The Inflation Reduction Act provides them with the funds, and so now you're seeing solar panels go up on schools. It's pretty simple math, actually, when you think about it. So whatever you know concept we might be talking about, whether it's trains, solar panels, and more. Mm-hmm. Looks Donald Trump is planning to come back to La Crosse, come back to Wisconsin, and is going to do, it says here, a town hall visit. Let's see. In La Crosse, on Thursday, it'll be his first Wisconsin trip since he accepted the Republican nomination in Milwaukee last month. And it says Trump will meet with voters to listen to their concerns and share his promising agenda to make America affordable again. He will be at the La Crosse Center at about 6 p.m. on Thursday. He's going to meet with voters and listen to their concerns.
Since when?
I'm quite serious. You point me, please point me to the last time he sat quietly and listened to voters' concerns. That's all I'm saying.
The notion just point of him me. Sitting there just with that look on his face, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Pat, we got a clarification from Scott and Madison on the train comment. He said, okay. Sorry, we spent $63 million to kill the train deal that would have cost us $3 million supposedly to upkeep a year. So
Yes. There it is. See, now that makes more sense in a comment that I was expecting there. That Walker used the $3 million annual cost to kill it, and of course, killing it cost us $63 million. So again, good work out of Scott Walker. I'm looking forward to how this plays out with Trump. I would urge everybody on Thursday night to at least, you know, dip into it for a moment, and let's see if that's what really happens. And it's not gonna.
Okay, please take video. I need to see this.
Yeah, because again, he's had his handlers, his team, his whatever, his minions saying for weeks, months now, you know, to focus on issues. Don't do the insults. Actually, listen to people. Let's see if he can pull it off in La Crosse. You know, it could happen. All right, to the Brewers now at 6:18. They did take the series in Oakland, perhaps their final season, their final visit ever to the Oakland Coliseum, but they lost on Sunday 4-3. It was the Brewers' 184th and apparently final game. The A's will vacate after this season for Sacramento and ultimately for Las Vegas. And I'm just couching it because this whole thing with Oakland and with Vegas, the whole thing just never has struck me as, oh yeah, this is a done deal. This is definitely happening. The whole thing just feels very tentative, like anything could happen yet.
Yeah.
So also, it probably Vegas was the Brewers baseball. Last game, but I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so the Brewers still lead the division by 10, 11 games, something like that. They're off today back home for a very short 3-game homestand with the San Francisco Giants starting tomorrow. Back with more after this. We're up north.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Eagle 1490 AM. There is no keep away than this. Listen
to me, girl. Sting is not in today's history lesson. The guy playing the sax there, Benford Masalis, is, and we'll explain why coming up in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio at 6:20 on this Monday morning. I got to hit one more sports note with Greg here before we get back to some of the day's news. This is going to be a really fun statistical anomaly that happens in a baseball game today for Boston Red Sox catcher Danny Jansen, because, he's the Boston catcher now. He had been the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays when they played Boston on June 26th, but the game was suspended because of rain. And it's going to be made up today. In the meantime, Danny Jansen had been traded to Boston. He was the batter when the game was suspended. He's now been traded, so he can't be the batter for Toronto. He instead is going to be the catcher for Boston for his at bat. So there will be a pinch hitter for him picking up the count. What was the count? Something like it was like a 2-1 count or something like that. So this will be the first time not only that a guy has played for two teams in the same game, he's playing for two teams in the same at bat. So it's like he was the hitter for the first couple of pitches and then said, nope, I'm playing for the other team. Now I'm the catcher. If you're not into it, I get it. I find that just crazy and fun.
For those who don't know baseball, everyone knows baseball, but like baseball is, it will wash in statistics. Like you could just, today marks the first time since 1932 on a Thursday that at 217, like right? They just have those inane facts. And I think that not only is a first, but good luck breaking that one.
Yeah. It's impossible. It was an 0-1 count, which I think is funny. It's like they let this batter come up, and it was with one strike that they're like, okay, that's where we're going to draw the line. We're going to suspend the game. But it is, and as Tony writes from Ashland, that is absolutely bananas and one of the coolest things to happen in baseball. And so I appreciated that and just wanted to
thank you for sharing that, Pat.
Thank you. I like to share little baseball things where I can. Just catching up on some of the other headlines that we weren't able to get to during the convention. And one that caught my eye was by Bruce Murphy in Urban Milwaukee. And it was about Menards and how the Environmental Protection Agency has ordered Menards to immediately stop the sale and distribution of unregistered pesticides. Menards was selling two products online treated with unregistered pesticides and wrongly claimed that these products could or should be used against COVID-19. It was, Murphy writes, only the most recent controversy of how the 350-store chain based in Eau Claire has handled the pandemic and its aftermath. Early on in the pandemic, Michigan's attorney general accused Menards of price gouging on products in high demand. And there have been other instances where, Menards, again, being a big chain, but sometimes has taken shortcuts, shall we say, that people had legal issues with. For example, the big one is from 1997 when I was working at the TV station here in Eau Claire, and we were told that there was going to be a John Doe hearing at the Eau Claire County Courthouse. Can't tell you anything more. Starts at 10 a.m. or whatever it was. So we're all there, and in walks John Menard. And it's part of a settlement because the guy was using his own pickup truck to haul garbage bags filled with arsenic-laden wood ash to his home to dispose of in this household garbage, rather than have Menards properly dispose of it. All of this means very little for a guy whose net worth is now $25 billion. He is the 79th richest person in the world. But I thought it would be at least noteworthy to call attention to it. Because, again, we're nothing if we can't expect corporations of any size, of any political stripe, to play by the rules and not play fast and loose with our environment. Over the weekend as well, you had Robert Kennedy Jr. dropping out of the presidential race and endorsing Donald Trump, which, of course, makes no sense for many folks, especially those in the Kennedy family, who have quickly come out and said, no, we're not backing. He's part of our family, but no, thank you. And they've said so in some very using some very sharp words. His sister, Carrie Kennedy, and four other family members put out a statement that said, "Our brother Bobby's decision to endorse Trump is a betrayal of the values that our father and our family hold most dear. It is a sad ending to a sad story." And other family members have had similar things to say about it. Now, I haven't wanted to say much about Robert Kennedy Jr. He has said and done so many, here's the word of the year, but it's true, weird things, that it's hard for me to believe that somebody would take it seriously. But he's got that Kennedy name. I mean, for example, there is a far-right Republican United States Senator in Louisiana by the name of John Kennedy. And you're kidding yourself if you don't think at least a few people voted for him going, oh, yeah, John Kennedy must be one of those Kennedys. He must be a good guy. I'm going to vote for him. RFK does not deserve anything in terms of the legacy of the family name. Everything about his positions, most notably his hostility to the miracle that is vaccinations, but also plenty of other things, not the least of which are the dead bear incident in Central Park, the brain worms, whatever. But then to take what he thinks is some kind of a notion of public service and put that behind Donald Trump, who, as we made clear in our last segment, has not for a moment in his life been about public service, should tell you all you need to know. But there's one other point that I think bears mentioning. And it was best summed up in this particular social media post where somebody says this: the fact that third parties only ever run for president every 4 years instead of actually trying to build a coalition or power at the local and state level should make it pretty obvious that it's a grift. And it is. I mean, you can call it an independent campaign if you want, any of these that pop up, but don't call it a third party. And at this moment, until I see otherwise, I'm talking about, you know, people go, well, what about the Green Party? Well, the Green Party gets on ballots and everything, but is there a Chippewa County Green Party? Is there, insert party name here, is there anything at the local level? Are they trying to get legislators elected? Are they trying to get, win a county executive election? Are they trying to build up local power? No, they're only doing it every 4 years from a national standpoint, where they're asking people for money, and then they're making a difference in an election that they know they can't win. And increasingly, as has become clear with the Cornel West case here, it's completely politically motivated, where this far-left candidate is being funded by far-right groups to basically be a spoiler to benefit Donald Trump. So when you hear third party, just think grift. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
All the angels, all the devils, all around us, can't you see?
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Control should be top of mind as growers prepare to make their final crop protection applications for the season. Thanks to a mild winter and variable weather conditions, many different insect species began appearing earlier and in higher frequency. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Geiger, an agronomy service representative with Syngenta, says some pests are showing up in greater numbers after being able to overwinter thanks to this mild weather.
Many of the insect pests were able to overwinter at a higher rate. For example, the mortality rate of bean leaf beetle was lower than average this year, and an average of 45%, which is the lowest since 2012. There are certain geographies that they're seeing more of that pest. Corn rootworm's been spotted earlier than normal this year, typically a pest that appears late in the season, and it becomes an issue for soybeans that are planted later. We had a lot of later planted beans this year because we were just so wet in April and May, but we were actually seeing that pest in May this year in certain geographies. Grasshoppers were an issue in some spots, but circling back, still seeing a fair bit of stink bugs, and I would say green clover worms for my geography specifically.
I'll have a look at your morning markets right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning markets. Cash corn is trading at 363 and three quarters, down 4 cents. New crop corn is trading at 387 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. Cash beans are trading at 947 and three quarters, that's down 4 1/4 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 967 and three quarters, and that is down 5 1/2 cents. September wheat is trading at 499 and a half, that's down 2 1/4. And December wheat is trading at 524 and three quarters, and that is down 3 1/4 cents. On the dairy side of things, September class 3 milk contract is trading at 2173 a hundred weight, that's down 6 cents. And October milk is trading at 2225, down 5 cents. Barrel cheese closed Friday at 210. 40-pound block cheese closed at 203 and 3 quarters, and the AA butter closed at 313. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be dangerously hot and humid today. We have an excessive heat warning for heat index values to 115 or better this afternoon. Sunny, actual high 96 today. A few scattered thunderstorms, 72 tonight. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, mostly sunny and cooler with a high of 92. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matt and Aaron Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is my guest host for the day. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And soon both of us learn to trust, not run away.
There was no time to play.
We build it up
and build it up
and build it up. And now it's solid. Solid as a rock.
We will be saying happy birthday to Valerie Simpson of Ashford and Simpson in today's history lesson, 15 minutes away, but first off, the Simpson to my Ashford, that would be Kristen Lyerly, who joins us now on this nice Monday morning, who I haven't talked to since I saw you at the convention. Good morning. How are you?
Solid as a rock.
There
How
you
are you?
Go. Good. Getting back into the swing of things here. Hey, you changed your plan a little bit.
Yeah.
When you talked about the Chicago convention and it's just going to be a quick down and back, you know, blah blah blah. Next thing you know, you're there on the convention floor on Thursday night sending a photo for the big gig.
I wasn't on the floor.
You were in the building.
I was in the building.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to our dear friend Deb McGrath out in Menominee, who saved me a seat and it was wonderful company. And when I spilled mustard on my white dress, busted out the stain process to save my brand new white dress that I just bought that day. She went full mom, which was much appreciated. We had so much fun. The energy, the spirit, just being there with all of those like-minded folks, it just felt so good.
I understand that I might have a little signal problem here, so if I'm freezing up, you just let me know when I'm back. But I'm getting the thumbs up so I can. Yeah. As I'm going through all the interviews that I did at the convention, I mean, they all have, they either start with energy or enthusiasm or both. Mm-hmm. And so my interviews actually turned toward guarding against overconfidence and guarding against complacency. But I should have actually just told them all to call you, because you're running in a district that is, you know, leans heavily Republican. But as I heard you in numerous interviews, you still think is, you know, very winnable. Otherwise, why would you be in? I mean, you even pointed out the methodology of when they say, you know, it's an R plus whatever district, that it's kind of a faulty, or it's an incomplete measure of a district's partisan support, right?
Well, the methodology is flawed. So what Cook uses is they look at the last couple of presidential elections and how those congressional races fared. Here in Northeast Wisconsin, we had Mike Gallagher here, and he at that time was very, very popular with Republicans, Democrats, Independents. People just really liked Mike Gallagher. He didn't ever have an opponent who was well supported or well liked. So he rolled over every opponent in the last couple of elections. It looks like a red district from that perspective. But when you consider what's happened to Mike Gallagher since then, how he has been essentially outed by the Republican Party, he vacated his seat. There's no one in this seat right now. It's not just open, it's vacated. So that's a huge game changer. And the state maps are a huge game changer. Currently in the 8th Congressional District, we only have two Democrats representing this whole region, the third largest population center in the state. What the difference that it makes to have candidates running in every single assembly district and every single Senate district. Last cycle, a third of those districts went totally unchallenged. Now these candidates are out knocking doors that haven't been knocked in a decade. And the people in places like New London and Oconto are loving it.
Well, and again, the whole dynamic has changed. I mean, Kamala Harris has raised $82 million since the convention and has now crossed the $500 million threshold. And by the way, that cuts both ways. I can tell you there's too much money in politics. We shouldn't have presidential campaigns that cost approaching $1 billion, but they do. And so when they do, you got to take note when somebody has raised that much money in that short of time. And not just the money, the volunteers as well, as you well know. I mean, every donation is nice, but as others have said, the money doesn't work as well if you don't have an infrastructure to put volunteers to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need it all. And that's exactly what we're seeing with my campaign, and I know with many others. People just want to be part of it, and they do what they can. So if it's donating money, then great, that's fantastic. If it's coming up to knock doors, one of my friends who lives in Chicago was in Milwaukee over the weekend knocking doors. I have a friend from Tennessee who's going to be writing postcards for us, and her motivation is she's a high-risk pregnancy doctor who can't take care of her patients. She needs national protections for abortion and reproductive rights. So everybody's got a role to play here. You just have to figure out, what is my role? Is it having conversations with my neighbors? Is it donating money? Is it phone banking? There's a place for everybody. Just figure out where you want to make a difference and insert yourself.
I think that's something I really got from some of the delegates who are already like leaders in their hometowns, mm-hmm. things like that, is that, I mean, obviously they're already in the choir. It's all about reaching out to other people. The Democrats had a great energetic convention. Good for them. But there's still, believe it or not, there are still many voters out there that could go either way mm-hmm. on a candidate, or could go either way in terms of staying home or voting. Because, again, even if it was 70% turnout, you know, which is a good presidential year, that's still 3 out of 10 people making the choice to stay home. Mm-hmm. Those are people who deserve messages from volunteers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are unbelievably, I mean, you would think, because we're in the thick of it, we're always paying attention. So you would think everybody has decided, but they're not. Mm-hmm. So the more conversations we can have and the more we can help people understand where the solutions are to the problems that they clearly have, people are struggling right now. When you look at what people are doing to try to put food on their table and pay for their healthcare costs, it is really hard to live. And young people are especially struggling because they are not seeing a future that is welcoming for them. So the more we can do, the more we can work together and find that those issues where we can make a difference, that's how we're going to create that bright future, not by fostering fear and division, but by creating that community.
Greg, because I've been working both on radio segments and making up videos for Up North News, mm-hmm. you might have to actually help Grandpa remember something here. I interviewed a 16-year-old whose grandfather from St. Croix County was a delegate and invited her to come down as the guest. And she talked about just how energetic, you know, she and all of her friends are about Kamala Harris's candidacy, as opposed to before that, they felt completely unplugged. They had no interest in following the campaign whatsoever. I don't believe we've played her segment on the radio yet, right?
I don't know. That does not sound familiar, no.
I'm going to save, like I said, I'm going to be dropping in some of these voices throughout the course of the week. But it was just to bring it back to you, Kristen, that, you know, young folks are, not the cliche of coming out of the woodwork, but they're definitely more interested than there were a month ago.
They're so excited. I just got a reach out from one of my colleagues whose daughter, who's I think 10, wants to be involved. She wants to be part of the Kamala campaign. Mm-hmm. Another friend of mine, their family sat around last weekend and made friendship bracelets with Kamala's name on them. Like, it is something that they can do. And they're selling them for $5. And they're going to send all of that money to the campaign. There is something that everybody can do. And young people are so enthusiastic because they, for the first time, are seeing a future.
I know that what we did have was Jason Ray, who was the convention secretary during that crazy roll call last Tuesday. He's a Rice Lake native.
So good.
And he started volunteering as a teen with his local party. We're going to hear from Mike Tate this week, former state Democratic Party chair. He too started volunteering as a teen. I, as a 13-year-old was volunteering, you know, at our local party because people see in that a way to, even at their age, do something to make the world a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe you can't vote, but you can definitely be active. Henry Paulo was one of the, I don't know if you got to interview Henry, but he was one of the delegates, former high school Democrat, mm-hmm. Friend of one of my boys. Yana Zanevsky up here in the Green Bay area, same situation. We've got high school Democrats organizing in Wisconsin in places like Denmark and Green Bay, all over the state. Aaron Shalev down in Madison is doing a fantastic job of organizing these folks. The enthusiasm is high with young people. And to be able to foster and channel that in a positive way, to teach, to mentor and teach these people how to be problem solvers while still being themselves, you know, not indoctrinating them, but encouraging them to pursue the topics that they're interested in and working together, teaching them, helping them learn those skills. What an incredible group of leaders we've got on the horizon.
Oh, without a doubt. Dr. Kristen Larley was with us. We're going to have you put on your doctor hat for a moment. Right after I go check the mailbag here, Alicia writes about Henry. He is such an awesome young man. And Mary writes in, hello from Wanakee and happy Monday. So thank you, Mary, for writing in as well. Kristen, put your doctor hat on for a second here because we are expecting triple-digit heat index readings in many parts of the state today. Going to reach 95 degrees in many parts of the state today. And not just from a physician standpoint, but including an OBGYN, because the person that I'm related to by marriage happened to be pregnant during the summers of 88 and 90, two of the hottest damn summers to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. What are you telling your ladies to get through weeks like this week?
Oh, yeah. Avoid the heat. I mean, stay inside when you can or stay in the shade. Hydrate. That is one of the most important things you can do. And as we age, we lose that sensor that we need to drink. So we forget to hydrate. I say as Pet takes a big swig of coffee. Mm-hmm. Coffee doesn't count. It needs to be water. It can't be soda. Yeah. Water is the best thing to hydrate you. But if you're going to be outside, if you're sweating, you definitely need to keep up on your water. So take a bottle of water with you. Throw a few ice cubes in there if you can. That'll cool you down a little bit too. Hydration, avoiding the heat. If you're going to do anything vigorous, do it early in the morning or in the evening when it's a little bit cooler if you have that option, and make sure you take plenty of breaks.
I'm really glad to hear you say the part about forgetting as we get older, because I can't tell you how many times this summer either Sherry or I have said, you know, I just completely forgot. You know, I'm why am I so dry? I'm like, oh, I didn't really have any water today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Your body feels it immediately when you start, like the times when I haven't had water until like later in the afternoon or the evening, I'm like, oh, my body just feels a little bit better now. And from the point of view of what you're saying, Dr. Lyerly, about doing things outside, I made a huge mistake a couple weeks ago when it was really, really hot and I mowed my lawn and it knocked me out. Like I had to come in for a break and then I did the backyard and I came in and after I was done, I was sitting at the kitchen table for about 40 minutes trying to recover. Like I was just
wasted. Are you channeling Rob from Tigerton? Did you switch places with him all of a sudden? Remember we were telling him to hydrate while mowing the lawns.
Never insult Rob from Tigerton.
Physician, heal thyself. You go drink some water too. All of you, drink your water.
It's supposed
to be good for you.
I love water. Yeah. I think water's amazing. I don't understand people like, I have to have flavor. I'm like, no, you don't. It's water.
No. Yes, it's water and it's perfectly good. On an earlier topic, Alicia Saunders writes in, I moved my son to Milwaukee last week. Boy, would I have loved a train to go from the Fox Valley to Milwaukee. I was raving about taking the Borealis from Chicago to La Crosse. Kristen, you know what a difference a train corridor would make from Green Bay through Milwaukee down to Chicago.
My kids talk about this all the time. They would absolutely love it. And so would I. I mean, think about how it would reduce traffic on the roads. And you know where I would love to see a train? Between Green Bay and the Fox Valley. Highway 41 and Highway 43. Oh. Ridiculous amounts of traffic. 41, there's nothing there. It's flat. It's country. There's nothing there. But so many accidents because of the volume of traffic and people are in such a rush. If we had a train to just shuttle people back and forth, it would make a huge difference. And the environmental impact would be fantastic.
Well, I mean, or you could add a fourth lane and then a fifth lane.
No,
that's what we're doing.
Sixth lane.
That's what we're doing.
I know, and it's not working, kids. It's there's at some point, it's just silly, you know. When you could have for that money have built something that runs much more efficiently, is much cleaner, And again, would allow that productivity of being able to work or to relax while you're on the train. So needless to say, a lot of things that can happen if we make some changes come November. We'll pause here. And when we come back, we will have today's history lesson. And in a little bit, Selena Heller from Earth News, she'll join us for our history lesson. And then later, she'll tell us more about school districts making big solar updates thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. You're up north.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, many of you know I talk a lot about how to improve your credit score in my radio minutes and also in my YouTube videos. But today, I'm going to talk about how to think about your credit score when you're trying to figure out how to get out of a lot of debt. And when you're in that situation, it's important not to let worries about your credit score determine which debts you pay first or how you pay your debts off. In other words, don't just rush to pay off a debt because a collector is threatening your credit. By that time, your credit report likely already shows you're behind and maybe even in collections. And frantically paying won't help much, and not paying won't make it that much worse. Take a breath, make your plan. I know that opening those envelopes and figuring out what's going on can be pretty tough. I'm here to say, it's okay. You can figure it out. You can do it. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pat Kreitlow's Karaoke Hour. It's going to start with Looking Glass's Brandy, which hit number one this day in 1972. Welcome to today's history lesson. Selena Heller joins us now from Up North News. Miss Heller, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. It's a hot day coming up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was taking the trash cans out this morning, and I was like a goldfish. It was so thick out there. I was like, where's the air? It's nothing but water out here. It's a little humid.
Got to water the plants, though. I got to remember to do that today.
Yes. Yep. Happy anniversary, women who would like to vote. The 19th Amendment took effect on
women
this day.
Women who would like to vote?
Yes. Well, the rest of you who would like to repeal that right, no happy anniversary to you, okay?
Hey, a big anniversary to you lady voters out there. Good job.
Yeah. There's just something about a six-year-old man going, ladies, so no, happy anniversary, ladies. The 19th Amendment took effect this day in 1920. On this day in 1935, Geraldine Ferraro, who was the running mate for Walter Mondale, first woman to be a running mate on a major ticket, was born. She passed away back in 2011. The late Leon Redbone was born this day in 1949. You get to hear him every year at the holidays. In this case, with Zooey Deschanel from the movie Elf.
I really can't
but baby,
stay.
It's cold.
Now people are like, oh yeah, that guy, that voice, yes.
This evening has been.
She doesn't have bangs anymore. It's weird.
I know.
She doesn't look like herself anymore.
Nope. No, trust me, none of us do. I've got the pictures to prove it.
Fair point.
Valerie Simpson, we mentioned, is 78 today. Branford Marsalis is 64. Mother Teresa was born this day in 1910. And then this is an important birthday. Katherine Johnson, she was born this day in 1918. I've seen lots of clips, but I've never actually seen the movie or read the book Hidden Figures. Kristen or Selena, you have?
No. Seen the movie.
She's the physician and mathematician profiled in the book and the movie, the Oscar-nominated film from 2016, who did did much of the math for early NASA flights with trajectory and things like that. She was awarded the National Medal of Freedom by President Obama in 2015, and then she passed away in 2020 at the age of 101. But she was born on this day 106 years ago. Shirley Manson of Garbage is
loved 50, her.
58 years old today. I just sometimes you just want to let the song play.
Yeah.
Just listen, you know, that's a Madison band.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've spoken at length about them seeing Shirley on a UK TV show of some sort and saying, get out of Scotland, girl. Get to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And
love it.
The rest is history. Melissa McCarthy is 54 years old today. Comedian John Mulaney is 42. Kiki Palmer is 31. Now, you're not going to believe these birthdays. These two were born the same day, okay? Chris Pine, the actor, is 44. He's the same age, born the same day as Macaulay Culkin, who is 44 today.
Oh.
I would say they peaked at different times in their Hollywood career as Greg mixed the face with the hands on the cheeks. Ah! 44 years old today. Seal had the number one song this day in 1995.
Sing it, everyone.
From the movie Batman Forever, number one song this day, 1995. I think rates really low on the whole list of Batman movies. That was one with Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman.
Correct.
And Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I'm going to say I haven't seen them all. I haven't seen all the Batman movies. That one probably still is my favorite one of the ones that I've seen.
The thing that's really good about that one, I find fun, is that the second one, Batman Returns, is so bleak in its color palette. It's like gray, blue, black, and white. Yeah. This one is just full of color and fun.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jim Carrey making a good villain that one. Let's see. On this day in 1978, the papal conclave elected Albino Luciani. He took the name Pope John Paul I. That happened this day in 1978. On this day in 2009, kidnapping victim J.C. Duggard was discovered alive in California after being missing for 18 years.
Wow.
The number one song this day in 1967 was by Bobby Gentry.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
How come we didn't get more songs from Bobby Gentry?
Because she disappeared. She like did her. She did this album. She basically retired. Like she's done things here and there, but she's like a successful businesswoman now. And they teach.
I love the fact that you actually had the answer. That he had the answer ready to go, just like that. It's like a little encyclopedia. Roger reminds us that Leon Redbone sang the theme to Mr. Belvedere, the Bob Uecker show. Loved that. I should have played that instead. Frankie Valli's Grease, the title track to the blockbuster film, was the number one song this day in 1978. And finally, we'll conclude with 1972, the Nilsson song that peaked at number 8 on this day in 1972.
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank them full.
The song is 52 years old and you'll still, some kid will hear it and still start singing it. It's just irresistible if you're a kid.
It gets in your head.
It does.
Peaked at number 8.
Yep.
Who would have thought?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I heard it on the radio all the time back then. So I suppose you probably didn't get teased much, like, doctor, and they'd sing it to you.
Yeah.
No, never mind. It's just me. I'm old. Today is National Dog Day. Congratulations, all you people who want to like dogs. I thought I'd pick up on that 19th Amendment thing again.
Wow.
This is Women's Equality Day. This is Cherry Popsicle Day. And Greg, 30 seconds to give me your hot take on National Sandwich Month.
Oh, yeah, BLTs. Not only do I not like them, I think they're a waste of time, a waste of money, and they're an anti-sandwich, and I hate them. And people who like them, I'll never understand it. You can't be satiated by a BLT. It's garbage.
I like
that.
Straight hot garbage.
All right. Well, with that, we bid adieu to National Sandwich Month. We're just going to cut it off early right there with that kind of a take and pick it up on the other side of the news.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran joins the show to talk movies and TV. And Wisconsin native comedian Mary Mack joins the show to talk about her tour of the state.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above Lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere